Good morning. Our first lesson today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, and that can be found on page 1221 of your pew Bible. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's the first lesson. Our second lesson is from Chronicles 2, chapter 15, verse 15. And that's on page 695. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. That's the second lesson. Then our third lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37, and that's found on page 1536. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Here ends the third lesson.
Thank you, Lois. I'm reading to you from page 1573 in your pew Bible, Mark 11, 20-24. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Here ends the lesson. This is God's holy word. I think it's significant this morning that the songs we sang were "Jesus, I Come." Come to Jesus, and Jesus never fails. All of that, those songs relate so significantly and powerfully to our message this morning as we wind up a brief series on prayer. Today I'm talking to you about the secret of effective prayer. The secret of effective prayer. In our story today, in the context, Jesus has just cleansed the temple and chased out all of the merchandisers and all of the people that were profaning the temple, and told them that "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves," or a den of robbers. And so he goes on to say a little bit later, this passage I just read, where he talks to the disciples and tells them, "Have faith in God." He said, if anyone has a mountain in their life, big difficulty that just seems impossible to overcome, he says, say to that mountain, "Be removed. And if you believe and have faith in me," Jesus said, "it shall be done." A very, very powerful prayer promise. If you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe, not just believe in faith, not just have faith in faith, but you have faith in him. You believe in him, that he has the power and the will to do it. Tremendous motivation this morning for you and me to pray. My problem, perhaps your problem is that so much I am prayerless. So often I'm convicted of my own prayerlessness. But this verse motivates me, should motivate you, I would hope, to motivate us to look inward. To look inward. To discover the causes of our prayerlessness. Perhaps also to give us courage to pray in spite of those causes and to expect change in the days ahead. So there are five marks of true prayer this morning, which I would call the secret of an effective prayer that I'd like to share with you in the moments we have remaining. First of all, there is the heart's desire. The heart's desire. Jesus said, "I tell you, whatever you ask," in some translations have whatever you desire. So therefore, if you desire, if you ask, there's tremendous power in desire. This is the power that moves the world. It's the power that directs our course. But that, for it to be answered, for God to bless us with answered prayer, that desire must be right. We pray every week the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." So when we pray, to know and to make sure and to have the assurance that our prayers are going to be answered, we align our will with his will. He's not just going to frivolously give us all the little things that we want like a genie on a lamp. If we align our will with his will, we can rest assured that our prayers will be answered. "Thy will be done," he said. So right desire, proper desire, biblical desire is the soul of prayer. So then the cause of insufficient or unsuccessful prayer can be found in our lack, perhaps, of right desire. So let's think a moment of the purity of our desire and what it must be. Many think that they have earnestly desired when they ask, and they get upset or frustrated because they've not received. They prayed and prayed and prayed, but they've not received an answer. But if we would see this morning how God defines wholehearted, we might know that it was a lack of desire for God, a lack of a desire for his will, that was the cause of that failure in prayer. Listen to what he says, as Lois just read a few moments ago, Jeremiah 29:13. "You shall seek me, and you shall find me," when? "When you shall seek me with all your heart." In 2 Chronicles 15:15, he says, "All Judah rejoice, for they had sworn wholeheartedly with all of their heart, and they sought him with their whole desire," or very eagerly, "and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest on every side." You notice in both of these, it wasn't seeking an answer for their prayer or their desire. It was seeking him, seeking God. Other desires quite often occupy a large place in our interest and in our affections. And those other desires, so strong, they crowd out our desires for spiritual things, for spiritual blessings. And the spiritual desires, hence, are not all-absorbing. And that may be our problem. There are other things that compete for our heart. Other things that compete for our interest and are even greater than our desires for God. And our prayers then are not heard because God wants the whole heart. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." Every fiber of our being God requires to love him. If our desire is right, if our heart is right with him, wholeheartedly given to him, then God always gives according to that desire. And in fact, he gives according to our heart's desire if it is right. Not as we think it should be, but as he sees it. If there are other desires which are intense with us and have our heart more than himself and his presence, then he allows those to be fulfilled, and the desires that engage us in prayer cannot be granted. If we want other things more than God, then God will let us do that. He'll let us go. But the things we want in prayer, he will not give because we are not wholeheartedly sold out to him. Our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, must be drawn away from other desires. We must give ourselves wholly to this one. We must be willing to live wholly in intercession for the kingdom. So let us this morning seek the grace of prayer with our whole desire. So we must have the right desire. Secondly, there must be the expression of this desire in prayer. He says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer." Those things you desire, you must ask for them in prayer. So there must be the expression of the lips. The desire of the heart must become the expression of the lips. Speaking our desires is what rouses our whole being into action. I think it's very significant that one day as Jesus was passing by a blind man, he called on Jesus, and Jesus said, "What would you have me to do for you?" Well, it's pretty obvious. He wanted to hear, he's blind, he wanted his sight, and Jesus asked him, "What do you really want?" And he says, "For you to give me my sight," which Jesus did. Speaking our desires is what brings us into contact with him. When we have a desire that's so intense in our heart, so intense in our life, in our thinking, that's when we ask that in prayer, that's what wakens our expectation. He says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, when you ask. To pray is to enter into God's presence and to claim it and to secure his attention, committing our need to his faithfulness and to leave it there. We can think about it, we can worry about it, we can want it, we can desire it, but it's not until we pray and ask God that God begins to respond. It's in so doing that we become fully conscious of what we are seeking. And so that brings about the expectation of the desire. That's what hits our expectation. That's what raises it up. Some people have strong desires in their heart, but they never bring them to God. And God said in James chapter 4, verse 2, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. And some of you ask for wrong things to consume it on your own lust, and therefore you don't have either. Some people go to the Word of God to strengthen their faith, but they don't apply it to the request, so they can't be assured of an answer. While others come in prayer with so many requests, so many desires, that it's difficult for them to even know what they expect God to do because their desires and their heart and their mind is so fractured. If you want God to be receptive, if you want God to be faithful to your desire, you must begin by exercising yourself to prayer regarding it. Jesus said, you got this mountain. You have a desire. And all of us sit here today, we've got mountains. All of us have impossible situations. He says, if you have that, and we do, then you want it to be removed. He says, then you must come and ask. Then he says, when you come and you ask in prayer, believe. So there's the faith that carries the prayer to God. We have a desire. We come to God in prayer. We have an expectation then. And it's faith. It's our belief, not in faith, but it's our belief in him that carries the prayer to God. So there's the life and the power of prayer. We must learn anew in this whole gamut of prayer. We must learn anew what faith is. We must begin to live and to pray in faith as never before. A lot of people take the approach, why pray when you can worry? So many of us do that, don't we? We worry and worry and worry and walk and we're anxious when God wants us to pray. Faith is the opposite of sight. And the two are contrary, the one to the other. And they operate differently. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith. True believers walk by faith and not by sight. So if the unseen is to get full possession of us and get full possession of our hearts and our lives and our prayers, then we are to be full of faith. We must believe him. There must be a withdrawal from and a denial of the visible. We cannot be overwhelmed by the mountain. We cannot let the mountain overtake us. We got to realize there is a God that is bigger than any mountain and more powerful than any mountain that we will ever face. We walk. We live. The Christian lives in the unseen world. The Christian lives in the invisible world. where there's a God who operates and does things that humankind never can do. The spirit that seeks to enjoy the things of God, but gives first place to the calls and the duties of the variables of daily life, will not develop a strong faith and will not develop an intimacy with God. When you let the things of this world become more powerful to you than the God who sits on the throne of this world, you'll never have that intimacy I'm talking about. Here's what Paul said about it. 2 Corinthians 4:18, he said, "While we look not, while we fix our eyes not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul knew that all the things that you and I can see and touch one day will be burned up. God one day will destroy all of this, and he'll make a new world, a new heaven, a world where you and I can live, the eternal world, all in the invisible right now. And you see, effective praying depends upon our living in the invisible world. All of this that happens all around us that we can see and touch is temporary. But that which is in the invisible world is eternal. And that's where the believer should dwell, should live, should focus on. We fix not our eyes on that which is seen, but our spiritual eyes are on that which is unseen, on those things that are eternal. But there's a lack of power in our prayers. And the great reason for that, for our lack of faith perhaps, is our lack of knowledge of God. We really don't know who God is. And we look at the things that happen around us and think that they take precedence and they are more powerful than God. We have little fellowship with him. We don't know him, and so we have little faith in him. But it's as a soul knows God, as we are occupied with his power and his love and his faithfulness, that we come away out of self and the world and we allow the light of God to shine on us and our hearts. Unbelief then, ladies and gentlemen, becomes impossible because we're so filled with God. Mountains can be removed, not because of our power, but because of the power of the one that we have our faith in. And then there's the acceptance of God's answer. Whatever you desire, when you ask for it in prayer, believe that you have received it. Past tense. He says, don't believe that you will receive it. Believe that you have received it. That God's in operation here. You see, the prerequisite of prayer is faith. Faith has to accept the answer before it's given. It's given by God in heaven before it's found or falls on earth. And this causes difficulty for us because we're creatures of earth. And God wants us to live in an invisible realm. Yet it's the very essence and secret of believing prayer. Spiritual things, spiritual victories and blessings can only be spiritually apprehended, can only be spiritually appropriated. A soul, an individual, that not only seeks an answer, but seeks first the God who gives the answer, receives the power to know that it has what it has asked of him. You see, the first thing must be God. God's not just our wealthy benefactor who's just standing up there waiting to give us what we want. God wants fellowship with us. God wants a relationship with us. And the soul who seeks his face before he seeks his hand, that's the soul that God will build a relationship with and God will bless with spiritual blessings. Listen to what he says in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in approaching him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do we know his will? In his book. If we ask anything according to this book, God says he gives us a hearing. He will listen to us. And if we know that he hears us, if we know he gives us a hearing, then whatever we ask according to his will, we know that we have what we asked him. God's going to answer his word. And so the more you know his word, the more you can guide your prayers by his word. You can pray biblical prayers. God then, on the authority of his word, on his faithfulness to his word, he's obligated to answer those prayers. That's why it's so important for our desires to be his desires. It's all about a pursuit of God. We're all pursuing something in this life, whether it be a career, whether it be money or fame or popularity or relationships. But this prayer is all about the pursuit of God. You see, as we strive to believe and we strive to find, we find that we cannot, it leads us to discover what there is that hinders. Why am I not getting my prayers answered? Why am I not getting these things accomplished? You see, blessed is that man or woman who holds nothing back and lets nothing hold him back but puts his eye and his heart on God alone, refusing to rest, refusing to give up until he's believed what the Lord has promised, fixing his eyes on that which is eternal, fixing his eyes or her eyes upon the unseen. Here's the place where Jacob became Israel. As he wrestled, Jacob wrestled all night in prayer, and he prevailed. God changed his name to Israel, meaning a prince of God. We see the power of prevailing prayer. It's born out of human weakness and despair, realizing we cannot do it. We cannot accomplish it. We must have God. That's where prayer takes over. Here's the real need for persevering prayer. That will not rest. It will not quit until it knows it's heard and it believes that it has received. And faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the key. Don't be afraid to press on and believe that God will answer your prayer. Prayerlessness can be overcome. God can give you your heart's desire if it is his desire and if it is truly your desire, and will give grace to pray. Lastly, there's the experience of the divine blessing. He says, when you desire, you ask in prayer, you have faith, and you believe you received it, it will be yours. It will be yours. There is the assurance God gives us of answered prayer. There may be a long interval before he answers. It may take a lot of time. But let us learn to hold firmly to God's assurance of answered prayer. Let us persevere. Let us not quit. Jesus said, pray always and do not quit. Do not faint. As sure as there is desire, and as sure as there is prayer and faith and faith's acceptance of the answer, there will be also the manifestation of that answer. There will be the answer to the prayer. You got a mountain? Sure you do. Is it eating your lunch? Is it something you really desire to see God do? Are you asking God? Do you believe that God will supply the answer and remove it? You see, do you fully and truly desire that God would enable you so to pray that you'd be free from continual self-condemnation and say, no, it can never happen, it can never happen? Can you trust the power of his Spirit that he may answer your prayer? Jesus said, if you got up this mountain, I tell you that if you desire it to be gone, it is not impossible. You ask me, have faith, believe in me that I can do it, and that you will receive it. And he says, it shall be yours. Come with desire, ask in faith, get your answer. Bow your heads with me this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's just take a moment and think of what has been said. Prayer. That's the economy that God wants you and I to live in. We can work and work and work, and we can accomplish a lot. But if we really want to see God work, he will do it only through prayer. So this morning, let's look at our lives. How's our prayer life? Ask God to help you, to cleanse you from anything that might be hindering, to give you the faith that you need. First of all, you're here this morning and don't know Jesus as your Savior. Give your life to Him this morning. We have our prayer care workers available at the end of the service in the back, and you can see them if you don't know how to trust Christ as Savior. You can do that this morning. If there's something in your life that you want some prayer with, then they'll also be available for you to pray with them. Father, we thank you today that we can come to you in prayer. You never fail. The mountains that we face are only impossible because we think they are. But Lord, if we get our hearts right with you, and our hearts and our desires are your desires, then Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with you. Help us this morning. That person that may not know you as Savior, may they come to you this morning. And Father, for those of us who are living more in the visible world than the invisible world, I pray that you'll help us. Help us do what we do through believing faith in you, trusting you for the impossible. We ask it in Jesus' name.